and break apart from the body that's meeting there. Maybe you've been in a congregation like that. Maybe you've been involved in working with individuals who have decided to leave in that particular way. And although I've never been involved in a church that has split in that fashion, I've been involved with churches who have experienced splits in the past. I've been involved with congregations who exist specifically because a church has split. And I think a lot of times when we think of a church splitting, we think of a group of people leaving from another group of people. But I think a lot of times a church can be split and a church can be divided even when we're all meeting together. We can experience division. We can experience conflict. There can be times when we don't agree with one another and we can still sit in the same pew with one another. But tonight we're going to look at how to split a church by being a hypocrite. And when we talk about being a hypocrite, a lot of times, even if you were to go out into the world and use that language and say that someone is a hypocrite, when we think of a hypocrite, a lot of times we think of someone who says that they are going to do one thing and then turns around and does something completely different. They say one thing to a certain individual and then turn around and say something else in a completely different situation to another individual. And I don't deny that that's something that a hypocrite does from time to time. Something even as we study what a hypocrite does, sometimes we may even do and have done from time to time. But as we talk about being a hypocrite tonight, and as we look at some instances where Jesus referred to some of his enemies as hypocrites, I want us to think about that word hypocrite in a little deeper fashion, in a little deeper manner. When Jesus used that word hypocrite, this is a verse on the screen now of Matthew chapter 23. In this chapter, in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is condemning the Pharisees for some of their actions, for some of their behaviors and thoughts. And many of the things in which they were doing were absolutely hypocritical. And before Jesus gets to these six or these seven woes to the Pharisees, he tells those who are listening, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. So the Pharisees, according to Jesus, were guilty of saying one thing and telling the people that they should live a certain way, but they themselves weren't living the way in which they were teaching. There was a disconnect. They were saying the right things, they were teaching a lot of the right things, but they weren't practicing the things that they were teaching. They weren't practicing the things that they were preaching. And again, there's a sense in which this is what a hypocrite does. This is how we understand what a hypocrite does. But I think as Jesus refers to these Pharisees and these groups of people as hypocrites, I think there's a little more we can grasp from that, and I hope we explore that a little bit this evening. Okay, good, you can see those pretty well. I got permission to do this, by the way. But these are all pictures of my wife. And something I learned just in this past week or so preparing for this lesson is my wife is a very theatrical person. She loves Halloween time when she can put on a Halloween costume. She loved being an English teacher where she can go and look the part and present what she was teaching, give a visual aid, if you will, to her students. So in the top left, you see my wife dressed as Edgar Allan Poe. She was teaching about Edgar Allan Poe, and she thought it would be pretty cool to dress up like Edgar Allan Poe while she was teaching. Thank you, Debbie McLaughlin. The top right, you see my wife dressed as one of the three blind mice, with two of her colleagues. And then in the bottom left, that is me and my wife, even though it doesn't look like me and Rachel, dressed up as the Berenstain Bears. Now, to explain what this has to do with being a hypocrite, when Jesus referred to the Pharisees as hypocrites, essentially what he was doing is he was saying they were playing the part of a godly person. Just like a stage actor. Just like a pretender. Now, when I look at these pictures, yes, I see my wife dressed as Edgar Allan Poe, but I know that when my wife came home from work, she wasn't Edgar Allan Poe, she was my wife. I know that even though that's a picture of us dressed as Berenstain Bears, we went home and we weren't Berenstain Bears. But Jesus, when he refers to the Pharisees as hypocrites, he's saying, you guys, you don't get it. You're simply playing the part of being a follower of God. It's not really in your heart. It's not really who you are. You're just like an actor on stage putting on a show for everyone. So yes, there's one sense in which a hypocrite might say one thing to a person and go and live a completely different life. But when Jesus is referring to these people as hypocrites, he's saying, you're putting on a show. That's not really who you are. You go home and you go around a different group of people and you act a completely different way. That is a hypocrite. Now, Jesus, on several occasions, talks about hypocrites. And if you look at just the Gospel of Matthew alone, you see instances where Jesus uses that word hypocrite. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, there's a statement that Jesus says over and over again when he's talking about hypocrites. That there are certain groups of people who do things to be seen by other people. When Jesus is talking about hypocrisy, especially here in Matthew chapter 6, this statement appears three different times where Jesus says there are people who act a certain way for the sole purpose of being seen by other people. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus recognizes that there are people who give. And as he's talking to his disciples and those who are in attendance, he says, when you give, don't give and let everybody know what you gave. Don't give monetarily and let everybody know about it. But when you give, or Jesus says, when these kinds of people give, they give to be seen by them. Same thing with prayer. Jesus says, when you pray, don't go out and pray for everybody to hear you and draw attention to yourself and let everybody know that you're praying and pray to be seen by other people. Likewise, Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, but also when you fast. Jesus says there are people who were disfiguring their face. They were specifically drawing attention to the fact that they were fasting. These types of people, perhaps they were Pharisees, many of them, wanted other people to know that they were behaving a certain way. They were giving, they were praying, they were fasting, and they were doing that because they wanted other people to know about it. On Sunday, we had a youth group devotional, and we handed out surveys with two questions on them. And I understand you may not be able to see that, so I'm going to try to read it. But we had two questions on this survey. And the survey was centered around the idea of how can I bring honor to my family? So the first question is, what is something you think is important that you do in order to make sure that you are bringing honor to your family? If you want to list more than one thing, that's okay. And this was completely anonymous, but someone in our youth group said, I think that acting in a way that is pleasing to God, even if you think someone is or isn't watching. Now, I wasn't planning on using some of the responses from our youth group for this lesson, but I thought when we're talking about being a hypocrite, this is the goal of being a hypocrite. You are doing things, you are being a Christian, you are being a follower of God, only so that other people can see you. But when you're away from people that maybe the opinion that you care about, when you're away from those kinds of people, you act a different way. Now, I don't know who wrote this, but I think it's spot on with what we're talking about tonight. If we want to bring honor to our physical family as teenagers, they understand that they need to act how God would want them to act, whether their parents are around or not. Now, I say this not in a negative way at all, but something that I've heard over and over again since I've been here at Estes from our parents, something they really want to know. How's my kid when I'm not around? Are they behaving? Acting like they're supposed to? It's not one or two parents I've heard this from. It's from several. And I don't say it as a bad thing. It's a good thing. Now, to apply that not just to our teenagers, but to everyone. God is our Heavenly Father. Obviously, God is always around. We understand that. But do we want His approval? Or do we want the approval of others around us? Are we a follower of His because we want His approval? Or others around us? And that same set of verses here. Oh, sorry. On the next question on the survey, I got ahead of myself. Next question was, what is something that you think you should not do in order to make sure that you don't bring dishonor to your family? Kind of the opposite of what they said in the first question. I believe that you shouldn't act in a way that is displeasing to God, even if you think someone is watching or not. Do you want God's approval or the approval of your peers? Approval of your parents, youth group? Whose approval do you want? That's what I was looking for. Okay. Same set of scripture, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus talks about people who give and pray and fast just to be seen by other people. And His response to that, to His disciples, to those who are there in attendance, to those who are listening to Him, is not to focus so much on who's going to see you give, and not to focus so much on who's going to see you pray, and not focus on so much on who's going to see you fast, but to focus on how God is going to see you. Whose approval do you want? This statement is repeated three times. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, don't go and tell the world. Don't go and try to get the approval of other people. But your Father who sees you in secret, He's going to reward you openly. You may not get all the praise from man that you want. You may not get as much glory on earth. You may not get a lot of popularity and attention by doing it this way. But God recognizes who exactly and why exactly we're serving. Why exactly we're acting the way we should be acting. Why we're saying the things we should be saying. Why we're doing the things we should be doing. In Luke chapter 16, shortly before Jesus tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus, He recognizes that the Pharisees are lovers of money. He says, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." God knows our hearts. He knows why we do what we do. He knows if we act a certain way just because others are around and are going to see us. And He knows if our hearts are simply created in a way, and not necessarily created in a way, but exist in a way where we are doing things to be pleasing to God regardless of the consequences. Jesus was able to recognize the hearts of man while He was on earth. Certainly God can do the same, but sometimes it seems as if we forget that. Now, as we talk about being a hypocrite, not necessarily even just saying one thing and turning around and doing something completely different. Sometimes that's what a hypocrite does if it brings approval to other people. But as we talk about being a hypocrite, putting on a show, being a pretender, being like a stage actor, trying to gain the approval and the applause from the audience, you can see how this would split a church. Whether you have groups of people actually get up and leave from that congregation, or whether there's just division amongst the people, you can see how being a hypocrite can just throw gasoline on the fire. So, before I advance to the next slide, I want to let you know that when you see these next few slides on the screen, I'll flip. When I look at this, I don't want you to keep shallow relationships with others, but this is how you be a hypocrite, all right? Now, as I say this, I think there are instances in which we all can act hypocritical. We're Christians, but we're not perfect. But at the same time, if you were to really take it upon yourself and say, I want to be a hypocrite and I want to split the church, take these literally. But as we look at this, and as we look at this first point, if you want to really be a hypocrite and you really want to split the church, have shallow relationships with one another. Keep shallow relationships with others. Don't really try to learn a whole lot about other people. Don't really try to learn about their life, the good parts, the bad parts, the messy parts. And definitely don't try to, definitely don't let people learn those things about you. Keep your relationship shallow. Don't really get to know people. Don't really try to bear their burdens. Don't really try to learn what's going on in their life. And again, don't let them know if you have a weakness. Verses I've referenced on the screen, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 47, you see the early church in action. And you see that they were a group of people that I just would want to be a part of. Every time you read about them in the book of Acts, and every time you read about them doing something powerful and really pulling together, share with one another, fellowship with one another, that's what the church should look like. But if we keep shallow relationships with one another, if we don't really try to get invested in each other's lives, we don't really try to help each other out, if we do that, you can see how this would split a church. Because when really bad things actually happen, and when there really are disagreements and arguments, you're not going to have that relationship to go back to and think about the good times you had, think about the bad times you had, but even though you had those bad times, you got through them together. Keep a shallow relationship. Only let people know certain things about you. Call these, I guess you could call them social media relationships, where we can post things on Facebook and Instagram and have people believe certain things about us. There are certain things we'll share on social media that we want people to see, and there are certain things we would never in a million years post on social media. So if you want to be a hypocrite now, if we want to be hypocrites and we want to split the church, let's all just have social media relationships with one another where we only share the good things, we leave out the bad things, we share the things that make us look really good, leave out the things that might make us look kind of bad. Keep shallow relationships with each other. How about this one? Believe that you have fully matured as a Christian. I've arrived. I've got no room to grow. I'm saying this sarcastically. I hope you understand that. But if we want to be hypocrites, if we want to split the church, we're going to think that we've got it all figured out. We're going to start to feel really, really good about our opinions, feel really, really good about our convictions, and people who see differently than us, they're the enemy. You can see how this would be dangerous. You can see how this would split a church. The verse I have referenced is in John chapter 3 and verse 9. Jesus is approached at night by Nicodemus. And Jesus tells Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, you've got to be born again." Nicodemus, "What? You know who I am? I'm a Pharisee? I'm not like one of the Gentiles. I don't need to be born again. That doesn't even make sense, Jesus." If we get to the point in our walk with God, and if we get to the point where we think we've got everything figured out and we don't have anything to learn and we don't have any room to grow, we're really mistaken. We're really mistaken. And that could lead to a lot of problems. Not only that, when you think about it, not only can this lead to splitting a church, think about how the world would view the church. About how the world views the church if all we have is shallow relationships with one another and that's all we present to people. Think about how the world is going to view us if we think we've got all the answers and we're not going to listen to anybody's point of view and we're not going to even entertain that. No one's going to want to join us. Why would they? How about this? Want to be a hypocrite if we want to split the church? Refuse to confess our sins. Confess that we have any sins. I think we understand the fact that everybody sins, everybody falls short of the glory of God, but sometimes we think everybody sins and everybody falls short of the glory of God except me. I can't let anybody know that. We'll admit that we've sinned, but sometimes when we get down to the specifics, we don't want to admit anything. Like we can fool someone. Fool someone into thinking that we've just been really, really good. We don't need anyone's help. We got this all figured out. And again, you can see how this would negatively impact the church's image in the world. What's the world going to think about us if the church is filled with people who, we've got everything figured out. We understand everything there is to understand, but not only that, we're not sinners. You can see how this would lead us into being something we're really not, being something that God never wanted us to be. You can see how it would negatively impact the church. You can see how it would drive God's people apart from one another. And not only that, you can see how it would drive people away from the church, and they would have such a negative vision of what the church is and what God intended it to be. You want to be a hypocrite? If we want to be hypocrites and split the church, let's not confess our sins. Let's not get real specific with people. Let's not tell people what we're really struggling with, something we've been struggling with for weeks, for months, for years, things that only I know about. I only want to know about those things. I don't want anybody else to know. And not only that, don't ask for help. Sometimes and maybe this is just me, but sometimes in my ear, I think, you can do it by yourself. You can overcome these things all on your own. Those people aren't really going to help you, those people sitting next to you. Think about how this could really destroy the church. It's so interesting to me the way God has designed the church so that we really can help each other. The church really was designed to function as a body. That isn't just a really cool theme. I mean, that's really what God wants for his church. And as we're a body, as we're there to help each other, support one another, bear one another's burdens, as we read in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, if we as God's people are willing to ask one another for help, to admit that we maybe can't conquer every battle all on our own, not only are we going to be stronger as God's people for it, but the world is going to see that and recognize that and know that there's something special about us. Know that there's something different. But if we want to be hypocrites, let's act like we got everything figured out. And let's not admit that we've made mistakes and are still making mistakes. And let's definitely not ask for help. All right, how about this one? We see the Pharisees doing this quite a bit. And sometimes, at least for my sake, sometimes it's easy to look at the Pharisees and say, what were they thinking? Even with the children of Israel, we read about them in the Old Testament, the mistakes they'd make in the wilderness wanderings and the mistakes that they just continued to make over and over again. And you're like, what were they thinking? And then you look in the mirror and you're like, oh. But think about how this would portray you and portray myself as being a hypocrite. If we want to spend time with important people, people that are recognized as being in a position of power, or people who maybe even aren't necessarily in a position of power, but people who they're cool, they're popular. I want to be seen with them. I want to be seen running around with that crowd, and those other people, I don't want to go anywhere near them. In Matthew chapter 9, we read one of those examples when Jesus goes to the home of Matthew, the tax collector. And as Jesus is in his home, he's eating. The Pharisees see that he's eating with tax collectors and sinners. They're thinking, and they actually say to his disciples, why is your teacher, why is Jesus, why is he eating with tax collectors and sinners? Because that's not what a Pharisee would do. In fact, I don't think it would be too much of a stretch to say that Jesus never would have gone to the home of a Pharisee to eat dinner if he weren't himself in the position of power that he was in. Because I don't think the Pharisees liked Jesus for the most part. I think they hated him. They put him to death. They crucified him. But just the fact that Jesus was an important person, just the fact that he was able to get the attention of the crowds And there were people saying things about Jesus, and Jesus was starting this movement, it looked like. Yeah, I've got to invite somebody like that to my house. I don't really even like him, but I've got to surround myself with him. As a church, as the church, something I've grown to appreciate is that the church is made up of very different people. Not everybody is alike, and not everybody should be alike. Something we can learn about the church being like a body. Body's one body, but different members. And if we're constantly just spending time with the people we care about, with the same kinds of people, how does that portray us to the world? How does that look to the world when we just want to be seen spending time with certain people and not with others? You want to be a hypocrite, you want to split the church, be very quick. I don't even have very, but be very quick to criticize others. Be very quick. You see a mistake, jump on it. This is dangerous for several reasons. This isn't even necessarily the behavior of a hypocrite. But when you think about it, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about someone who has a plank, has a log in their own eye, while they're trying to tell someone else how to take that same plank and that same log out of their eye. Now, sometimes as a hypocrite, we can be people who are struggling with something and condemn another person for the same thing we're struggling with. Or maybe something we've struggled with in the past. We've kind of forgotten about that. But we're quick to point that out in other people. I think that's just such a tempting thing as it is. We don't want to point out the flaws and the mistakes we've made in our own lives, but we're quick to do that with other people. Lastly, as we think about how we can be a hypocrite, how we can split the church, what it all comes down to, I think, really is this slide. I mean, we could come up with slide after slide of how we can be hypocrites and how we can hypocritically split the church and do things that God does not want us to do as his people. But I think what it comes down to is our relationship with God. If we want to be hypocrites, if we want to be people who are one thing when you see us and then the next day you see us, we're a completely different person. We should all have shallow relationships with God. We should all be people who don't really care to learn more about God and who he is, don't care to learn about his nature, because that's not really what we're in it for. We're not here to, and again, I'm saying this sarcastically, we're not here to gain God's approval. We're here to gain the approval of other people. As long as I can convince others sitting in the pews next to me that I'm all right, that I don't need help, that I've got things figured out, then I'm fine. I want to close with this verse. In John chapter 12, Jesus had performed signs. He'd performed this final sign, this miracle where he's raised Lazarus from the dead. And many people are believing in him because of this. And the Pharisees are acknowledging that. And many people are acknowledging it. But in John chapter 12, we read that even though many people are acknowledging there's something special about Jesus, his power, never seen it before. We read that there are people that even though they believed in Jesus, they didn't announce it. They didn't proclaim it. They didn't confess it. And the reason why they didn't do it, John tells us, is for they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. I don't want to stand up here and make you think that I've got all this figured out, because I don't. I'd be a hypocrite if I said that. There are all times, we all experience times, I think, where we care more about what our neighbor thinks, care more about what our best friend thinks, care more about what our worst enemy thinks, and what God thinks. And when we act that way, when we believe that in our minds, it changes the way we act, changes the way we live. And we're not trying to gain God's approval. We're trying to gain approval of others around us. Now, we've talked about a lot of ways in which you can be a hypocrite and a lot of ways in which we can be hypocrites that split the church. But if we want to really find the remedy and find the solution to not being a hypocrite, seek the approval of God. Really let God shape your heart and transform you as a person. Don't care what other people think. I don't care what my best friend thinks. I'm going to let God change my life. I don't care what my worst enemy thinks. I'm going to let God change my life. I don't care what happens to me. I don't care who laughs at me. I don't care that I might not get all the praise and the glory that I would get if I let everyone know I acted a certain way. I just want God's approval. If we live that way, if we as God's people, if each one of us took it upon ourselves to say, I just want God's approval. I want my relationship with God to be so deep that He changes my life. And I know that that sounds easy. It sounds like it's a one-time thing that you've got to do, but it's not. It's something we constantly have to check ourselves on. Why am I doing this? Why am I serving? Why am I doing all of these things? Am I doing these things so that other people see me and pat me on the back? Or am I doing these things because I love God, God loves me, God loves other people, and I want to love them the way that God loved them? It's easy for me to stand up here and preach this lesson. It's a lot harder for me to hear it. Because a lot of times these ways in which we can be hypocrites, if we're honest with ourselves and we look in the mirror, we can all say to ourselves, yeah, I've done that, I've been there. And as we talk about God's approval, that's something right now that we really should consider. Does God approve of me? And obviously we can never be good enough, we can never be smart enough. We all need the blood of Jesus. And here in a moment, we're going to stand up and we're going to sing a song. And as we stand up and sing that song, if there's any doubt that your relationship with God is in jeopardy, it's not what it needs to be, make that right. Make that right. Or maybe there's relationships with other people in this building that you need to have some work on and really try to make things right. Hope that you do that as well. I don't know exactly what it is that you need to work on. I know what I need to work on. But I hope that we can all work on it, that we can strive to be people pleasing to God, trying to seek God's approval. And if there's anything that we can do for you now, if you need prayers from the church, or if you need to make that decision to become a child of God, you can do that now while we stand and sing together.